Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. And as a quick aside, we have now got an app. Voice FM has its very own app. So if you're listening right now, jump onto your phone, get into the App Store, download the app, because if you've got a question for our expert today, you can pop it on there and we will do our best to answer it. Now then, today's show is all about websites and the things you could be doing to turbocharge your online presence. And I'm joined in the studio by none other than John Richardson, founder of Overt Digital Media, who are experts in building websites that work. And John is going to be sharing some of his knowledge and top tips on how you can improve your website, as well as sharing, as we do on this show, some incredible insights about his own business journey so far. John, welcome to the studio.
Thanks very much, Matt. It's fantastic to be here. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. What a beautiful day. It's a perfect day to be in the studio.
Especially with air conditioning, Matt. Especially with air conditioning.
Absolutely. So, John, let's kick off, okay? So, 25 years in marketing, everything from small consultancies to top five global software firms. I want to know what that was like.
So, it was a very long time, first of all.
A
lot of experience, yeah. The latter part of my career, I had sort of fairly senior roles, and global roles. So I spent a lot of time in the air, traveling in a very privileged way, in business class and what have you. And it was, my clients were mainly in the US, California, Florida, and what have you. So very, very privileged life. However, it wasn't great for family. And yeah, my wife was pretty much a single parent for most of the last 10 years of my career.
Sure, yeah. So a lot of time in the airport lounges, flying around. What sort of things were you doing for, you know, these global software firms? Were you in charge of the marketing?
Yeah, we're in charge of, not in charge of the marketing as holistically, but predominantly I was in charge of particular business units marketing or product marketing.
Sure, yeah.
So we launched a number of global products, and I was responsible for getting them out into the ether, so to speak, into the marketplace.
Yeah, and you went from that to, of course, now founder of Overt Digital Media. When did you start your own business?
So I actually got made redundant at the end of 2019, shortly after my father passed away. So it was a really tough time. And I decided that I wanted to sort of focus more on the family, and mm-hmm. I needed to focus more on the family. So it took me a few months to get everything set up. And we actually went live on the 19th of March, 2020. So
why does that ring a bell?
That rings a bell because 4 days later, we all got locked down. And so that was a
brilliant time to start a business.
Fantastic. It couldn't have been better, actually. Well, looking back, it was probably a really good thing.
Everything happens for a reason.
But it was good, and the reason it was good was because there was no options. There was no other options on the table, and you had to make it work. I had two children to feed and a mortgage to pay, and my back was against the wall, and you just come out fighting.
Absolutely, which is a theme, I think, across a lot of the guests that I've had on the show so far. You know, that is something that seems to be a common theme. So Overt Digital Media, obviously you guys build websites for other businesses.
We do, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What else? Is it just that you do?
Well, we do a range of, that's probably about 80% of what we do.
Sure.
Is building and optimizing websites and managing websites. But we also provide a range of other digital marketing services. Social media is probably the next biggest thing in our portfolio. So yeah, that's what we do, really.
Brilliant. We're going to get into the bones of some of that a bit later. And if any of the listeners are now thinking, I've got a website and it's not working very well, you are, of course, a little bit later on in the show, you're going to be sharing some of your golden nuggets, some of the top tips on what people can do to really turbocharge their marketing, their website. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And probably more than a few of your listeners will be thinking that. There was a survey done by one of the top city-based marketing firms, and it came to the conclusion that 80% of websites generate very few, if any, leads for the businesses they represent.
And we're going to be talking a little bit more about why that is. What I'm curious to know, though, John, is a little bit more in terms of the overt digital media and how does the business operate? Have you got a big team?
No, we're relatively lean. There's myself in the UK. I have a team of some designers in Birmingham, and we also have an outsourced team in the Philippines. So of again designers and SEO consultants or search engine optimization consultants.
Yeah, so all remote.
All remote. We all work from many different locations. Yeah, and it works well.
Which doesn't seem to have stopped you at all, because how many websites have you now built? It's got to be in the hundreds, is it?
Well, it's just over 100, actually. Yeah. I was looking today. It's just over 100 in 3.5 years.
So wow.
I'm really chuffed with that.
That is some going. And you've got some really impressive stats to talk us through a bit later. But we're not going to talk about that just yet. Because I'm curious, cool. John, I'm curious. You were made redundant. Out of all of the businesses you could have potentially started or gone into, you chose to start a web agency. Why was that?
I think because you get more bang for your buck with a website than any other marketing tool, in my opinion, if it's done right. And it's such a powerful tool. It allows a small business, a sole trader, to compete with, you know, a national player or even a global company.
Really punching above their weight.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with some of my friends that had their own businesses, I saw the experience they had with the agencies that were building their websites and managing their websites, and it wasn't great. And so I saw an opening or a niche in the marketplace to provide a managed service for websites as well, because mm-hmm. that's what one of the things that differentiates us is we manage the websites for our customers and we update them on a regular basis for all of our customers, really.
Sure. I'm looking forward to that, because you've also got this fantastic insights report that can almost look at the website, really get under the bonnet of it, for want of a better word, and actually tell you what's wrong with it.
Yeah, that's true. We have a really cool tool. And there's lots and lots of website auditing tools out there, and most of them are difficult, if not impossible, to understand to the normal man in the street. The tool that we use and the tool that we have, it will tell you what you need to do to make your website rank and higher than it is at the moment, whether it's anything from correcting spelling mistakes or grammatical errors, which can have an adverse effect on your rankings, all the way through to changing some of the copy in the headings or in the normal text. Maybe you haven't got the right contact information or the right calls to action on there, and it will tell you that in plain English, and it will also enable you to compare your website side by side with your main competitors.
You really do know your stuff, don't you, John?
Hope so.
I love it. What is it? This is obviously a topic you're particularly passionate about, but what is it you love about the industry itself?
So what I really, really love about what I do, I mean, there's a creative element, which is really rewarding. And it's lovely to take nothing and create something. But it's also really interesting getting involved with businesses and local businesses and understanding what they do. And I find it really fascinating to understand, you know, what some people do to make a living, putting it frankly. And because to build a good website and get all the copy on that website and to articulate the message that business wants to articulate, you have to get a good understanding of that person, their business and their customer.
Yeah.
And I find that infinitely fascinating.
The investigation.
Absolutely.
Getting to the root cause of the problem and fixing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just that deep dive fact find. And then obviously another really rewarding part of the business is seeing our customers grow, and you can see the number of leads that are coming into them, because our websites give reports, so we can see every month that, you know, they're getting 10 leads or 20 leads or 15 calls from their website and so on. So that's really rewarding as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Completely. I mean, that's totally the right reasons, isn't it? You know, I just, obviously there's lots of different reasons to starting a business or joining an industry, but you've clearly got this love for what you do, and obviously that'll no doubt show in the end product. It's interesting because there's probably people listening now thinking, my website's rubbish, it doesn't do any of this that John's talking about. In your experience, John, what are the typical barriers to business owners who don't have a website, or perhaps they've got one and they're not maximizing the one they've already got? What are some of the barriers to getting those wheels moving?
I suppose some of the barriers are that they might not have the knowledge to be able to update it themselves. Probably the biggest barrier is that their agency will charge them an hourly rate. Okay, so they'll think, well, I need this piece of text changed, and maybe that's a 10-minute job. So they go, you know what, we'll hold on till we got five of those, and then we can justify an hour's work. And what happens is it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't get updated. Or when they go to their agency, they go, oh, yeah, that's half a day's work, and therefore that's £300 or whatever. And it becomes, you know, it doesn't become, it becomes hard to justify.
Yeah.
That's really sort of, I suppose, the barrier, not having the knowledge to update your website, or it being too much of a cost to update it. Some of the things that where people fall down on their websites, or where websites fall down sometimes, is that they don't, you know, they're either, if they're old, they won't be loading in a very quick time. Mm. People are very short attention span.
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking at a website, you're doing two or three things at the same time generally. So things have to be easy. It has to be fast. It has to be easy. Obviously, it has to be mobile friendly, has to work on a mobile. There's no getting around that. No, absolutely not. And it has to work seamlessly on a mobile. And you probably have to design 90% of the websites we design now are on a mobile first basis. So that means that we design it, see how it's going to look on a mobile, and then we make sure it looks good on a desktop.
Mm.
As opposed to vice versa.
Okay, interesting. Well, look, John, we're going to take a short break. That's gone incredibly, incredibly quickly. Thank you very much. In part two, we're going to be delving into John's incredible tips on, you know, what business owners out there and anyone with a website can be doing to make it work a little bit better. But we're also going to delve into the impact that social media has had, and how that's impacted people's, you know, maybe focus. Maybe they're not focusing on their website as much because they're looking at what's happening on social media. So don't go away, because part two is going to be incredible. We'll see you back soon.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from £799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM, and I am in the studio with none other than John Richardson, website building expert from Overt Digital Media, a local website agency. Now then, John, just before the break, we touched on social media, and of course, with billions of users on social media, do you find that business owners are focusing more on social media as a method of marketing compared to investing the time and the resource into their own website? What are you seeing?
I do think that is a temptation for a lot of people because it's easy. Mm. It's easy to update social media. If you've got your phone on you, you can update it at any point. It's not so easy in most cases with your website. It also makes you feel good because it makes you feel like you're doing some marketing. But mm. Yeah, there's billions of users on Facebook and Instagram and and LinkedIn and what have you. But how many followers have you got? Mm. And only 5% of those at most are going to see your post at any given point. So actually, your reach is very, very shallow generally on social media, unless you pay for it, of course, and then that becomes complicated and expensive. So yeah, we do see that a lot. My thoughts on social media are that it's a great tool, absolute great tool, and we help a lot of people with their social media, but it's like a smoke signal. It's there, it flags where you are, and it should point to where you want those people to be. So it should always be pointing to your website because that's where you're going to be converting those people more often than not into leads and inquiries and sales for your business.
Absolutely. And so I suppose in your time then, over 100 websites you've built now, what are some of the common problems that you see with you get a business owner, for instance, and they say, John, I need some help. My website, it's not been updated in 5 years. But what are some of the problems that you find on these websites? What are the more common ones?
So I think what you need to remember with websites is that when anyone's looking at your website or any other website, they're more than likely doing two or three different things at the same time. They might be managing kids, might be cooking dinner, might be looking for somewhere as they're walking down the road. So your website has to be easy to use, and it has to be easy to find the information that you want that your customers to find. And it has to be obvious on what you want them to do next. So generally, the overall look and feel of the website has to look nice. It has to load fast.
Yeah, if it looks like it's designed in the 80s.
It's not going to be great unless you're doing a retro clothing shop, yep. which we're looking at the moment, actually.
So overall look and feel.
Make sure it looks
modern.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And it looks good on a mobile. It needs to be mobile friendly. Google have a mobile first policy. So if your website isn't mobile friendly, 60-odd% of people will be looking at it on their phones. And if they can't use it, if they can't use your website using their phone, they're not going to take some time to fire up their laptop. Just not going to happen.
And it's probably going to be a source of frustration. For instance, if they can't access, I don't know, the menu, let's say.
Absolutely. And what does it say about your business? If your shop window's dirty, and that's exactly the same with a website.
That's a good analogy, isn't it?
So the other big thing that we see on websites, or the common themes on websites that we see that are generally a few years old, is that the content hasn't been updated in a long time. One of the things we see regularly at the moment are updates on COVID opening times on websites. And it's like, well, we haven't looked at this for a couple of years. How much has your business evolved in the last 2 years? I would imagine significantly in most cases. Mm. So having up-to-date content. There's some other, the other two things that we really, really see is making it difficult to find your contact information.
Which sounds so obvious, doesn't it?
In my opinion, it's a cardinal sin. It should be, if you're on the mobile version of your site, there should be a click to call button at wherever, on whatever page you are on and wherever you are. On a desktop version, you know, you can have many different pieces of contact information, so email addresses, click to email, potentially click to call, contact forms, and you can cater for a lot of people. You need to make it easy for people to get in touch. If you have to look around to find how to contact you, most people won't. It won't take that effort.
Yeah, it's just another barrier, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's really unnecessary, you know. It's an easy thing to fix.
And when you, earlier, you said a desktop version.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
So, I say desktop, it's a bit of an antiquated term, right? So, generally, people will look at websites either on a laptop screen or on their mobile devices. Tablets, very, very rarely. So the desktop version is a version of your website that works well on a bigger screen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you've got a mobile screen, which is 6x3 or 6x4, whatever it is, you need a very different look and feel and experience there.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Right, yeah. So desktop is like a laptop, or it might be the home PC.
Absolutely.
Where you've got a traditional monitor. It's the bigger screen.
Yeah, so the website needs to be what's called responsive. So it needs to respond to the size of the screen. Mm-hmm. And that's not just your mobile and your 14-inch laptop. You know, lots of people at home will have 24, 32-inch monitors. They'll have curved monitors, you know, in certain cases. So your website needs to adapt so it looks good on all of those. Mm. And if your website is a few years old, it probably won't look very good on a big monitor.
Yeah.
Because they're quite a common, they're a common phenomenon for the normal people.
Yeah.
If it's, maybe it's 5 years old, it's probably not mobile friendly. It might work on a mobile, but there's more to being mobile friendly than just being able to view it.
Yeah, of course. So what's the easiest way for a business owner to check?
The easiest way for a business owner to check is, well, in terms of to check whether their website is mobile friendly, is to ask their kids to look at it and give them feedback.
Love that.
They'll tell you. That's probably the best way, actually.
That's brilliant. Yeah, wise words. There's going to be loads of people out there right now. They're like, kids, have a look at my website. And good luck on getting the feedback. John, earlier you said to me, calls to action are important on a website. What do you mean?
Yeah, calls to action, or CTA, as we love to call them in the industry. So what do you want someone to do when they're on your website? What's the best desired next action that you want them to take? Is it to call you? Is it to send you an email? Is it to download a brochure? Is it to sign up to your email newsletter, for example? Those outcomes or those actions are what we call calls to action. And don't leave it to the user to, don't expect the user of your website to know what you want them to do. Make it obvious and make it easy. But also, not everyone is at the same stage when they're of the buying journey when they're on your website. So some people will be looking for information. So the call to action there would be to download your brochure, for example. Some people will be ready to buy, and so you might want a big buy now button if it's an e-commerce store. Other websites or service-based industries or B2B, business-to-business companies will probably want the phone to ring or a form to be completed. So that would be your calls to action. And as a general rule of thumb, wherever you are on a website, there should be a call to action.
Hmm. Which, again, there's probably people thinking, right, need to have a little look at that. What's the call to action on my site? What do I want a user to do?
Yeah, and it'll be different on each page. Mm-hmm. And it'll be different for different potential customers as well.
What about the security of your website? Because sometimes you go on a site and the browser says, you know, the site's not secure, or the security certificate, something like that. What impact does that have? Do you see that very often?
More often than you think, actually. It's obviously a red flag for a lot of people.
It's a trust thing, isn't it? Hang on.
Absolutely. And so if you're ever wondering whether a website's secure, if you look at the URL bar with a bit that starts with www dot whatever, by the left hand side of just before the W's, there should be a little padlock which will say that, you know, which will confirm that your website has a SSL certificate or security certificate, which encrypts the data that you push into that website.
Sure.
So if you fill in a form, it means it's a lot more secure than if it hadn't done.
Of course. And you come across businesses that they don't have it, or it's not there?
Absolutely. We have it where it's just not there, whether it's lapsed or whether it was never there in the first place. A lot of the time it's a separate add-on. You have to buy the security certificate separately, so it gets forgotten or it gets lost and it expires after, you know, however long. And again, you know, one of the things that, you know, we do is when we manage sites for our customers, we ensure that security certificate is always in place. It's really, really crucial, especially if you're an e-commerce or an online store, or you're collecting personal information, from your potential customers.
Do you find business owners do they track the performance of their website? Is that common?
It's not as common as it should be. There's two types of people.
We've opened up a can of worms here.
There's two types of people, basically. So people that do track it to the nth degree and people that don't even know you can track it. Obviously, there's a wide range of people in between, but generally, you've got two camps there. But what you should remember is that your website, you know, it's just data. You know, behind it is this, you know, Google make billions and billions and billions of pounds from data, and they can tell you, you know, when someone's been on your website, how many people are on it at the moment, what pages they go to, if they land on the homepage, what page do they go to after that, how long they're on that, you know, how long they're on each page, and so on and so forth. There's so much information you can get from there. At a basic level, you should really be monitoring how many calls come from your website, how many emails come from your website, how many contact forms, or how many downloads, how many sales, if it's e-commerce, for example. And you should do that with all your marketing, really. You should understand the return on your investment on all of your marketing. But it's not always that easy, but with websites, it is that easy. It's just data.
If you've got the right thing in place.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, it's free. That data is free. All you have to do is set up a Google Analytics account, and it will give you all of that information and a whole lot more.
If someone wants to explore that, can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are more than happy to have a chat with someone that's, you know, sort of wondering how their website's performing.
Brilliant. Are there anything else? Are there any other common problems that you see, or any top tips you've got for what people can do to really turbocharge their website that springs to mind?
I think that the answer to that differs really for each website. I mean, there's so much there's books written on that subject, and lots of them. So each website will have its own, good aspects and not so good aspects. What I would say is to get an audit done on your website. You know, again, we touched upon the insights, the tool that we use, the auditing tool that we use, and that will tell you what you need to do for your website. And it could be something as simple as a number of spelling errors or grammatical errors.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that the page doesn't load properly, for example. The main tip I would say is get an audit done on it.
Get a stake in the ground. And lift up the carpet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lift up the carpet. John, we're going to take another short break.
Oh, wow, already?
Yeah, already. Thank you for sharing some of these incredible tips with us. Don't go away, though, because in part three, we're going to be delving into some of the challenges that John has faced in, of course, setting up his own business. And he's also got some interesting client success stories to share with us where he's put in place some of the stuff that he's talked about. And it's really had a dramatic impact on the number of inquiries that businesses are getting. So it's really, it's proof of the pudding, really, is definitely an easy thing. So don't go away.
Live and local, Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then, so I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston, by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called VisoSport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for VisoSport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice. Voice FM.
Now then, John, how are we doing?
Very well, Matt, yeah.
Good. Now, before we delve into some of the challenges that you faced setting up, of course, the incredible overt digital media, you've got a couple of success stories that you wanted to share with us, and I think they're great because they really do demonstrate that if you get the website bit right, it can really have a big difference in terms of, you know, the performance, the number of inquiries you get, just ultimately helping a business grow. Do you want to fire away? Do you want to give us some of this insight?
Yeah, absolutely. So there was, so we were contacted by a law firm. Their web designer was actually closing their business down, and they'd sat on that for a little while, and they had about 2 weeks to get a new website. I looked at their website; their content was really old and what have you. The security certificate had gone; it expired, so that wasn't great for anyhow. They weren't getting anything from it, which is why it didn't take any priority, you know, for the firm.
They probably thought, oh, the website doesn't really work,
like,
so
yeah, we're doing all right and what have you, and they were getting an average of about one lead a month from it. So we had to build it, and we're on quite a tight time scale, 2 weeks to get the new site live, which is pretty quick.
That's rapid. That is quick.
Yeah, it's everyone rolled their sleeves up and got and just cracked on, really. So the team did a fantastic job. That was about 18 months ago. Now, so that one lead a month has escalated into, on average, about 80 or 90 leads or inquiries a month.
80?
Yeah, so it's a massive, massive turnaround for them. They're obviously very happy.
I bet you're their favourite people.
Possibly. That was one. And the, another great success story for us, and one we like to shout about, is a company called Parker Bates and two brothers. During COVID, during lockdown, decided that you know, avid fishermen decided they were going to set up their own fishing bait business. Never done it before, but they felt that there was a niche in the marketplace, you know, for a small niche player to tempt people away from the bigger players. And we built their site a couple of years back now, 3 years back, I think. And that has gone from, you know, strength to strength. They're just sort of launching into clothing for fishermen as well. So that's gone. That business is started as a bit of a side hustle. Mm-hmm. It now employs six people full time.
Oh, wow.
It went from purely an online shop. Now they've got retail. They now supply retail outlets, and they've opened their own retail outlet. They're about to launch their own clothing brand. So yeah, that's been a really, you know, a really great success story as well. So yeah. Just shows you what you can do if you get it right.
Yeah, I'm blown away by that.
And it's not all us, right? The customer's been really, the customers in both of those have been really involved, and yeah, it's very much a partnership.
Yeah, yeah. Do you find that? Do you find the clients that invest, you know, the time, the effort, the not necessarily the monetary resource, but just the time and just to give you the feedback and contribute to that sort of creative process, do you find the end product is different?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the more you put in, the more you get out.
Yeah.
It's true in life and it's true with websites. you know, because the way any web designer, you know, as good, you know, no matter how good they are, you know, they need ammunition from yourself. What's happening in your industry? Mm. You know, what's working, you know, what's not. You might be getting 10 leads a month, but are they good leads?
Are they the right ones?
Yeah, exactly. Do we need to change the content? So yeah, we very much like to customers that are engaged.
Brilliant. John, do you specialize in any particular industry verticals? You know, fishing bait being one of them, perhaps solicitors firms another?
No, not really. Where we sort of sit in the industry, I suppose, are for, you know, relatively small companies, you know, up to about 50 employees, sorry. More people where the owner is wearing many different hats and is probably trying to do the marketing and usually not doing a great job of it, to be quite frank. So, you know, yeah, that's really where we sit. In sure. that respect.
So there isn't necessarily an industry that you couldn't turn your hand to?
There probably are a few. None spring to mind, but we'll have a crack at anything.
There's probably some solicitors firms out there thinking, hang on a minute, if they're getting 80 inquiries for them over there, then perhaps I should get in contact.
Yeah.
I want a piece of that.
Yeah, please do. So yeah.
I love that. Let's delve into then to some of the challenges, because what I love to do on this show is really get the benefit of some of your experience, because no doubt there are some things that challenges you've encountered along the way, which, you know, you might not necessarily change, but you definitely probably have some experience to benefit from. So, you know, what challenges spring to mind? You know, what might you do differently?
So I think generally, and I think this is common for all business owners, really, you go into a business because you're either really good at what you're about to do, or you really love what you're about to do, or prefer, hopefully, both. And that's great. And you get on and you do it. But what you're not really prepared for is all of the other stuff that goes with it. Bookkeeping, for example, your accounts,
HR,
admin, doing your marketing, you know, social media, getting your website, you know, put up, all of that other stuff, you know, stuff like getting it might be purchasing stock, it might be getting the best quote for your insurance, for example, all of that other stuff, you know, and it's overwhelming a lot of the time if you're not careful. I think I learned very quickly that I should focus on what I'm best at and pretty much outsource everything else. First thing we did was a bookkeeping and accounts. It was very apparent that wasn't my skill set right from the start.
I really appreciate your honesty as well.
And then, you know, a lot of the other admin stuff, you know, we just farmed it out. I mean, that said, I do try and make it, you know, my mission to know how to do pretty much everything in the business. Mm-hmm. If I need to step back in.
Because it's future-proofing, isn't it? And it's making sure that should, you know, something hit the fan.
Yeah,
you can step in.
Absolutely. So I think that's one of the main sort of main challenges, and I don't think that's unique to me. I think that's unique. Yeah, that's business owners wherever. Mm. I think one of the specific challenges that I faced was was juggling family as well. And although it's one of the big motivators of what I started this business for, is to be able to spend more time with my family. Mm. I wasn't expecting to have to homeschool them at the same time.
COVID? Yeah. Which you've got starting the business 2 days into lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was a challenge. And again, I don't think I'm unique in that. And you just had to get on with that. I think the other big challenge really is to find your first five customers or so. I know some people, you know, they'll have their customers before they start, you know, actually start their own business. They'll transfer, you know, side hustle into a business. But for most people starting a business, it's, you know, you're getting your first five customers. And because that, I think then, you know, it's not a fluke and you start to have some faith and belief in yourself. So that's always a challenge.
That's interesting. Having the faith and the belief in yourself, which, like you say, it's a real toughie, isn't it? It's that sort of imposter syndrome. You almost think you're not good enough.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the majority of people you speak to, you know, from when you're in front of potential clients, the majority of people are going to say no, right? And you just have to keep picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, you know, and getting back to getting back in the ring. That's all you can do.
That's it. And it's interesting. Yeah, on a previous show, one of my guests in the early parts of his career was knocking doors. And he said, you know, it really teaches you resilience, you know, 9 out of 10 people saying no, being able to learn to, you know, cope with someone saying no, pick yourself up, dust yourself off.
Yeah, it's very true. And also, you know, when you're talking to lots of different clients, you're saying a lot of the same things all, you know, over and over again, and you've got to keep making it fresh. But I think once you get past that fifth client, you think, yeah, actually this could actually work. how you do that is different for each industry and each person. For us, you know, even being a digital agency, we still picked up the phone and actually spoke to people, because I think, you know, that's one of the things that I really love doing, is talking to people and understanding their business. So actually talking to them it doesn't feel like hard work to me.
No, that's very true.
So yeah.
Hey John, if someone was sat opposite you right now and they were thinking about starting a business in a different field, whatever it might be, and they said, John, what do you think? What would you say? What would you say to that person?
I would say, do your research. If it's an established industry, you know, as long as you're not doing something completely off the wall, I would generally say just do it and work it out as you go along. Obviously, if you're doing something, you know, completely new that's got no tested market, then, you know, you probably need to do some research. But if you're doing something like marketing, web design, building, plumbing, you know, something that there's obviously a market out there, just do it. Jump in both feet, commit to it, and work it out as you go.
Absolutely. Let's do a quick roundup, because we're almost out of time, but we've got a couple of minutes. Quick roundup on the things that people should be looking at on their website right now. If they think it's not working, what are some of the things they should be looking at and trying to fit and sorting to fix?
Does it work on a mobile?
Yep.
That's the top one.
Number one, yeah.
Does it keep the attention of a teenager, i.e. it loads fast? And is it obvious how to get in touch with you? If you could just do those, if you can nail those three things, that you're doing well.
You'll be on the path to success.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully. John, did you want to do a shout out to anyone out there?
No, I'm good.
Oh, I love that. Well, John, look, thank you so much for taking the time to come into the studio today and sharing some of your advice and just tips really on what business owners can be doing to really kind of turbocharge their online presence. It's been invaluable. Have you enjoyed yourself in the studio?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's been really fun. Actually, can I change my mind? Can I do a shout out?
I was really hoping you'd say that. Yeah, yeah, fire away.
Lucy, who's my daughter. So Lucy, if you're listening to this, yeah, I am really, really on the radio.
Yeah, and you're now famous.
I am now famous. Thank you.
I love that. Well, look, John, thank you so much again. And if you like this show, then I'll be back again next week with another exciting guest. You've been listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. Bye for now.
Voice FM.
Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry and loose. And remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM. And if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.